we're gonna start streaming and start recording, because why not?
I see yellow buttons.
Yeah, because I mean,
yellow.
We're
yellow
live,
means we're live.
Live. Hey, folks! Thanks for tuning into the Banff Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Lafferty, and we were going to do a Supers Revised Edition vehicle combat, but one of our co-hosts has requested that we hold our fire until he can join us. So we are chilling out and doing another Coffee and Concepts. Our second Coffee and Concepts this week, where we're going to talk about time travel. You guys still there?
Yep, yeah. We're still here.
All right, cool. It got really quiet, so I was worried. These are short, fun little conversations we do while drinking coffee and talking about different concepts and how they can fit into games. And we decided time travel because right now I'm actually writing a time travel themed adventure for the Improbable Tales line. So this has been on my mind kind of a lot. This came up in my pull list this week, Squirrel Girl 42, which is oddly, in what must be a time paradox, the 50th issue of Squirrel Girl. She has one of those Kang the Conqueror storylines where she's fighting Kang in three different time periods.
Kang. It's not just for breakfast anymore. There we go.
It's what's for dinner. It seems like about half the time you get a time travel thing in comic books or superhero-related media, it's kind of a hook for getting, you know, a different angle on character work or get, you know, some sentimental aspects like maybe the big universe reboot they did with the Flash, Flashpoint. Seems like the big deal of that was, hey, we get Thomas Wayne gets to become the Batman in Earth 2, and he gets to team up with Bruce Wayne and, you know, do some manly stoic bonding before they have to part.
It's all about the manly stoic bonding.
Well, it's the only kind that Wayne men can do. And as we were talking about the Umbrella Academy, which ends on a time travel cliffhanger. Spoiler alert. Sorry about that. So you guys have been gaming for years. Have you ever used time travel in your sessions? And if so, how?
Absolutely. Walt, did you want to go first, though?
No, I was about to defer to you.
Okay. In one of our games many years ago, we had a guest GM a short session during a long-going campaign. Within that, because of that, our actual GM, Brandon, one of the gentlemen that couldn't show up today, brought in an NPC that had been developing during the ongoing story. This story went over a course of 540 play hours in the end for the whole campaign. The character that he played was my character's protege. And because of what had happened to her and me taking her under my wing, our friend who decided to guest GM decided to create a story that would have changed the past for not just the world, but specifically tying to my character's past, where my grandmother wouldn't have died during World War II, so I would have had a grandmother and a mother to teach me about my gifts. During that story, when he was trying to change the timeline, Becky, Brandon's character, went into a time war with him. And so throughout the session, we had these lapses and changes in time periods where where most of the characters at the table had no idea what was going on. Becky and the bad guys were the only ones that knew. So we would play out these scenes, and then we would, as players, we'd know what was going on, and we'd keep changing up and replaying and changing the scene and replaying. It was really hilarious. But what the result of it was actually really, really interesting. She at one point gives me this dramatic call on my comms on my phone and says, "Lexa," and I go, "Yes," you know, asking what's going on. And she asked me how important it is to stop the timeline from changing. I explained to her that it was really important because you never know the ramifications. So as a result, she said, "Okay, Lexa," she hung up on me and she changed time one more time. Going to the bad guy, she told him that she was going to go back far enough in time that she would join World War II. She would meet my grandmother, become best friends with my grandmother, ingratiate herself into every nook and cranny of my grandmother's life. And on the day that the grandmother's supposed to die, if she doesn't die and history would change, Becky would make certain that the grandmother was killed just to preserve the greater good. that Becky would see to it herself. So she went back all the way back in time. At the end of that session, something that occurred to us for a great story, I brought up to Brandon at the end of this, and everyone loved the change, was that Becky actually was being taught by herself, because Becky, after during Becky's origin story, it was a very traumatic, and she was being sacrificed to an evil demon god, and we saved her, but she got tainted. So she had a really rough journey where she wanted to commit suicide. She was, I had to bring her, show her that there was a better way, try and show her hope again. And I found her a teacher named Agatha. What occurred to us at the end of that time travel session was clearly Agatha was Becky, having traveled back in time, then experienced through the future. And so she met herself to teach herself. So it became a really cool story that continued to unfold as it went on.
That sounds like a lot of fun. I think that kind of falls in the category of it sort of facilitates some character work you wouldn't get to otherwise.
Mm-hmm. Agatha was, by the way, I don't remember the character's name right now in the comic book, but Franklin Richards' teacher, that elderly lady, that was who Agatha was originally. That was the character portrait we used. I don't remember who it is right now. Let me go look it up on Google.
Okay. Walt, how about you?
We have this little game that we do called Supers, and
I've heard of it.
It's not like I talk about it all the time or anything, but we did. We hired John McMullen to do this massive time travel adventure, and it's just got to get the layout. It just woke up and rolled out of bed. It's got to get its layout pants on, and then it'll be out to copious amounts of people around the Superverse. But one of the things that we had to do was we had to playtest the crap out of this. So we joined with the Midnight Riders, which is my like playtest group, we tried to break time as much as possible, which was both fun and frustrating at the same time. There's so much media about time travel that there's so many different theories about it. But as a side note, and an interesting thing about science, did you guys hear that a bunch of folks with a quantum computer had successfully reversed time inside of a quantum environment?
Yes. I also heard about the fact that a bunch of quantum scientists managing to teleport molecules.
Right. So like
that was years ago, 3 years ago now.
Oh my God. So good. Well, not so good. I mean, technically this is how you get aliens, but I mean, So one of the things we did was, John made these really fantastic, diagrams that allowed us to kind of mess with time a little bit and see how, can you guys see that?
Forms of time travel.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, allowed us to, really mess with things and see what we could do with like the time stream and stuff like that. And we had to basically come up with like, a dissertation on how time travel should work in games. I think there's so much good stuff out there. The only thing I think I would use time travel for is to have more time to dry more and more types of coffee. like today, for example, I'm drinking a cup of Death Wish coffee, which is the most highest caffeinated coffee supposedly you can get. So have you
like the Jolt Cola of coffees from back?
It is, yeah, but it's not doing anything for me. I don't know. I'm not bouncing off the ceiling yet, but it's really good, really tasty. I got a dark roast, as far as like what I need it for right now, it's working. Back to the time travel thing, I think my favorite version of time travel comes from. Have you guys watched on Netflix the TV show travelers.
Yes.
Mike?
No, I have not.
Well, the thing I like about it is it's not jumping into a giant machine and you know, physically transporting back to an actual place in time. That would be kind of like temporal translocation. Your body is actually moved through time. They're using temporal psychometry, which is they're projecting their consciousness back in time. This is another big feature in games like Assassin's Creed, where I'm sorry, Alice, go ahead.
I was just going to mention that if you remember, Five actually said that he projected his consciousness through time, and that's why he ended up with the body that he did and not the body that he should have.
Yeah, absolutely. He was a quantum construct, he said, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So, I mean, I love the idea of projecting your consciousness rather than just, you know, your whole body, a la Time Cop from Jean-Claude Van Damme. Because I don't know. Yeah.
Or Terminators.
Terminators. Yep. Nothing dead will go. So I think there's a lot of cool things that you can bring to a game table like this. What do you guys think about using time travel to, like, the Flashpoint thing and to reset at the game table? Do you think it's going to cause more problems than it solves?
I think that it really depends on the group, and because we've actually done that. We have used time and space, quantum mechanics and such like that to reset campaigns into superhero campaigns into Elseworld ones. And it can work and it cannot, depending on the people that you're dealing with. In specific, Brandon wanted certain characters to live out a different option of quests and, you know, of lives and stuff that he had in his brain to offer. So he decided to zhao and change the world due to a time thing, quantum thing.
I could never have, like, you know, I never had the players that wanted to do the, you know, change the world for the better. It was always, we must travel back in time. And then when you ask why, you find out they had that one picture in high school where they were wearing the wrong pants or had the worst hairstyle and they wanted to just go back and change it.
Well,
I would tell myself not to get the perm circa 1987.
I think this segues into an interesting thing about quantum mechanics and quantum structures in games, because that's not just about time travel necessarily, but about dimensional travel, isn't it? And so that brings up, I think, a good point, because it's interesting, because you need to find, you need to know what your players are wanting to do about if they want to preserve timelines, if they want to change timelines, etc. But also what's important is how much they idolize and want to try and mimic what is in comic books and TV shows. Because if you look at an Alex, John, and my old gaming group, I am so sorry for throwing you guys under the bus right now. apologize beforehand. But if you look at comic books and TV shows, when they travel to a different planet, different dimension, different time, they always want to try and make things better. And they always save the world and then end up going back to seconds before they left or seconds after they left. So nothing really messed up with their current place. Well, some players, it's hard to wrap their brains around. In the same campaign that I'm talking about, it did go 540 hours, so there's a lot of stories from it. My character, we were being teleported to another version of Earth. Because of that, my character would lose her tie to her deities. I had a conversation with my GM about that, and the GM asked me if I would be willing to give up my character for a time period and become a villain. I said, sure, that's standard for comic books. No problem, I'll do it. I was told by a lot of people in my group and outside my group, that is the dumbest thing ever. You never give GM your character, ever. I trusted my GM. In the other world, I created that world's version of what my character would be, someone completely different. She went around and found the scattered PCs, brought them together, and said, and she was this very alien character, and they all promised her that they would try and save this world, because this world was really, really dark. It was the original world's Lex, my character's sidekick, had gone dark and become the world supervillain. So he was known as the Watcher. And imagine, not quite Nazi, but he watched everything, and it was like a Nazi type world, but it wasn't, there was no genocide or anything like that. It was just very, very regimented black and white world. And so the PCs promised that they would save the world, until they found Lexa was ill. Lexa was dying because she was being cut off. My character said, no, I'd rather die here and know that you guys try to save the world than go home. I refuse to go home until we save the world, and I tried anyways. Despite that, the PCs decided my health, my life was a priority over saving an entire world. So they ditched the world and let it explode. So you gotta know what your PCs are willing to do.
That is an interesting role-playing choice, though.
It was. And, you know, Brandon and I had set that up. I knew that it was happening. I knew that my character was dying. And we...
In one of the Ultimates, I'm trying to, don't remember if it was Ultimates 2 or 3, the Ultimate Reed Richards actually, I want to say, destroyed Galactus. He invented a machine that would destroy a parallel universe and use the energy, you know, shoot it at Galactus and destroy him. And, you know, it saved the day, it ended the big event, but his wife just looked at him when he was done and, you know, don't ever touch me again. It's killed trillions, you know, of living beings. I don't want to talk to you. So,
yeah,
I mean, it seems like there's two ways you can go with time travel stories. You kind of have, like I say, that heavier sort of character arc stuff. And then, you know, like the Bill and Ted Venture Brothers kind of route, where one of the last episodes in the Venture Brothers this year, they had President McKinley's time travel cabinet. And, you know, there was just randomly in the background of a scene where, you know, two villains were dealing with another villain, and one of the heroes pops out and goes, hey, what are you guys doing here? Oh, we got to get back to the past. See, it was just kind of a throw-off joke. But they had sort of a famous episode several years ago called House of Mummies Part 2, where they run into a time machine, and they're just like grabbing random people in Bill and Ted fashion to help themselves, you know, on this mission. Like, hey, here's Sigmund Freud. He might be useful. Hey, there's Edgar Allan Poe. My God, he has a huge head. And they just played it for laughs. It was fun, but it seems like you kind of had those two extremes of time travel stories. It's either, you know, sort of this avenue towards, you know, some interesting character work, or it's, hey, look, there's Theodore Roosevelt. Isn't that funny kind of stuff?
Yeah. What do you think about the potential Bill and Ted reboot?
It's filming, isn't it?
Or sequel or what have you.
Are we getting the RPG license?
Oh God, no more licenses. have you guys checked out any of the Valiant Comics stuff that involved time travel?
The last one I saw was the Cosmonaut arc they were doing.
Yeah, that was heavy, but that was less time travel and more Stranger in a Strange Land. I was more thinking of Ivar Time Walker.
No, I'm not familiar. Please, share more.
So in the Valiant universe, there's these three brothers who they kind of get cursed with this terrible responsibility. One of them is one of the main characters of the Valiant universe. He is an immortal. His name is Galad, and he is cursed with stopping the ultimate evil force from consuming the world. Each of his brothers, there are two other brothers, have a goal that will save the world at some point. One of them is his brother Ivar, who becomes an immortal time traveler, and in spectacular Doctor Who fashion grabs a sidekick and decides to go on a time romp to save the world. And there's a lot of cool time work that's done in the comic, as far as how time interacts when you mess with it. So if you get a chance, go and check out Ivar Time Walker from Valiant Comics. It is just fantastically done. And as a side note, we think that time pirates might have stolen Mike Lafferty's connection.
So that's the same company that does Punk Mambo and Britannia, right?
Yes. And okay. All
so
of
I have familiarity with the company.
Yeah, all their mainline stuff. So way back in the day, this was a big comic company in the 90s, and then it kind of it petered out when a video game company bought it. And then fast forward, it was resurrected in 2012, and the stories these guys have been telling are absolutely amazing. Their books are just some of the best on the shelves. The quality and craftsmanship that goes into every issue are fantastic.
They should send you a paycheck.
They really should.
I'll have to check them out.
Yeah. I don't know if Mike,
if the Legends of Tomorrow came and stole him away because he was talking about time travel too much and giving away their secrets.
It's true. Speaking of which, have you seen Legends of Tomorrow?
Yes, I have.
And what do you think?
I think it's a really fun show. I think that White Canary is much better as White Canary as she was than she was as Black Canary. As Black Canary, she was dull and not good. As White Canary, she's been awesome.
Yeah, that's fantastic. Yeah, what do you think about all the Hawkman storylines?
We are a little bit behind because we binge watch seasons, so we are a little bit behind.
Nice.
But
we don't judge.
Yeah, I just heard that Arrow is going to be canceled soon because some people don't want to renew their contracts and said, just screw it.
Well, yeah, Stephen Amell just did a big, tearful goodbye to the fans.
Yeah.
I guess he wants to be a Hollywood producer or something.
Yeah, he did not want to re-up with the show. And, you know, I kind of get it because, to be very honest, you know, they can say that it's all, you know, that they use a lot of stunt people. That's true. But he does have to go through a very grueling physical training regimen because certain scenes they don't use they don't use stunt doubles. And he can actually do the pull-up jumps.
Salmon ladders.
Yeah.
Yeah, I tried that a couple times. Like I said, tried.
It's not easy.
No.
You have to have a massive amount of upper body strength, and you have to have a massive amount of core stability and core strength.
Absolutely. Yeah, I don't think I'm going to cut that. I think those days are behind me. I really enjoy the ship aspect of the time travel that they have in Legends of Tomorrow, where mm-hmm. instead of this like projection device where where it shoots you into the future or the past, it's done by the ship, and the AI is kind of fun and neat. But like the whole Suicide Squad aspect where he takes, you know, heroes and villains and throws them back in time. That's kind of neat because, I mean, you're not going to take the Flash to go do that, or like Wonder Woman, because those guys are A-listers and they need to be in the spotlight. You take all the B and C-listers I think it's a really neat way to have an ensemble cast and kind of push those second tier characters to the front.
I agree. Speaking of a second tier character, he's actually only a reoccurring guest on Legends of Tomorrow. And this is actually where we paused for catch up. Constantine. I think that TV show of his was canceled way too soon. He actually is a spot on Constantine for people who, you know, read the comics. He's a spot on Constantine. The movies were not as spot on, I feel, as that actor is.
What did you think about his not having the iconic cigarette in a mouth or in a hand every 30 seconds in the TV show?
I get it. But and they do show that he has it, so it's just not, you know, in his fingers all the time.
Right.
So they made it a little more subtle.
I actually enjoyed that. So, Mike is calling from the past.
Oh, where is he?
He's he's there. Let's see if we can't get him back.
Or is he calling from the future?
He's calling from his cellular phone.